Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, Alleluia. How we should say, Alleluia, or even Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Turning to Paul's letter to the Colossians once again, chapter 3, reading from verse 16 through verse 21. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Reading through the 22nd verse, reading from Colossians chapter 3. Let's pray that we'll have understanding of this, and especially obedience to it, that we may not just be hearers of the word, but doers, not building our house on the sand that will fall, but building on the rock, Christ. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We ask in his name that thou wilt enable us to do that, that we may not just speak it idly, we might take that name in vain, but that we may truly know our need of him, that we may know that, Father, we are children of wrath unless we are united with him, made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, as you directed Paul to write to the church at Ephesus. And we pray, Father, in his name, that we might have the Holy Spirit to now lead us into all truth, that the church might be revived. And we pray especially, Father, that there might be a recognition of thy commands concerning our homes, not only wives submitting and husbands loving, but doing what, Father, thou hast said by the mouth of Christ and in other areas of Scripture, that what thou hast joined together, let not man put asunder. And Father, as we do not read of it here in this church to Colossae, we do not read of it in the church to Ephesus. We read of it amongst the Jews that were hard-hearted, but here we are given the answer to keep us from it, submitting, loving. We pray that we might be able to do that more and more, than repent of wherever it has not been done, that homes might be healed, that homes might be reconciled, that there might be forgiveness. And we pray especially for the children in those homes that are troubled, frustrated, many having taken their own lives because of that frustration. And we pray, Father, for those that would even be tempted to do so now, that would thy word and spirit through Christ, thou wilt stop them, help them, lead them, that there might be a generation that will come back to thee, and not a generation that will go further from thee, as we have been doing from generation to generation, waxing worse and worse. We pray, Father, for thy spiritual blessings first in the church and in the home. The church might teach rightly. We pray also for the temporal blessings that are needed for those in sickness, that there might be healing. There might be faith to look to thee for that blessing, faith also to learn through afflictions the peaceable fruits of righteousness, and especially faith for those, Father, that will soon meet the end death, that they might be prepared for that solemn hour through Christ. We pray for those that are homeless, hungry, the war-torn lands. Pray for those in older age. We pray for our schools, that they might again teach the truth. We pray for our police, our soldiers. Pray, Father, for those in difficult places. We pray that thou wilt lead and guide all through Christ, in whose name we give thanks, that we might have that resurrection power once again through him. Amen. Once again, we look at this message. Last week we came to it in the last part of the message, especially the plain direction to husbands and wives. As I mentioned in prayer, we do not read of putting away here. We do not read of it in Paul's epistle to the churches. We read of what is there in God's command to keep homes the way they should be. And that's what should happen. When we think again of James' words that are written later, faith without works is dead. If there isn't the work of submitting in the lives of women, do they have a faith that's dead? If husbands do not love their wives and want to continue with them, rather, disobedient to God, want to put them away, do they have a faith that's dead? Here, we know that it is true for the women not only to submit, but to love as well, and for the husbands especially commanded here, Love your wives and be not bitter against them. As we said last week, there's much of that in the church as well as in the home. Not only we do not see it here in these epistles, not to the Corinthians, the Romans, the Colossians, the Ephesians, the Thessalonians. We see what should be done in the home, but not dealing with the broken homes. They evidently weren't there in that early church. Last week we talked about how few there were in the latter 1800s, 1 to 17. And if we go back further yet, in our early history in our country, it was about 1 to 70. It did not begin in the initial time of our pilgrims, but it waxed worse and worse. We sadly must be living in the times that Paul talked about to Timothy. In the last days there will be perilous times. Men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. When we think of disobedient to parents, if children are disobedient to parents, girls will be unsubmissive to their husbands. And if young men, boys, will be disobedient to their parents, if they don't love them, they won't love their wives as they should. It must begin in the home. It must begin with us as parents, grandparents, some of us great-grandparents. We are responsible. We are called to teach the younger. And we are called, certainly, in the church to go back to the faith of our fathers, our pilgrim forefathers. They gave us a country that we can be thankful for. If they were here, we could say, you gave us a country that we can be proud of. What suffering they did do. Many of them died in the efforts of settling here and giving a country of freedom to worship God. We read here from the 16th verse, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I mentioned that some time ago. Think of it with my wife, how songs would quiet her down when she was troubled in the hospital. They would give her comfort, and they should give all of us comfort. But it's not only that time, it is at all times. I think of Psalm 107. It begins with, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And then a number of times, O that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We find those words in verse 8, in verse 15, again in verse 21, and once again later in verse 31, repeating the same words, O that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's what's being done. If we admonish one another in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And as the next verse states, verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's what we should do as individuals, but that's what we should do especially together. And when we think of singing, often it is together. When there was the great revival, the great awakening in the time of Jonathan Edwards and others at that time, some said you could walk down the street and hear the singing in the home. And Edwards said that in the time of revival, singing increased in the way it was done, in the church as well as the home. And then we will have what is stated next, coming back to that. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. We have this even more plainly in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. We have there given in a little bit more detail. We read there in Ephesians chapter 5, first of all, in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Probably most importantly in the home, but in the church and everywhere else as well. And then the same words that we just read in his letter to the Colossians. Verse 22, Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. In Colossians we read, as it is fit in the Lord. If they are part of Christ's body, they have to do it. And that's what we find here. In Paul's letter to Ephesians, the two are taught there together. After, he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, so is he the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Church is subject unto Christ. That's why we don't read a divorce here. Paul just says that's the way it is. The church is subject to Christ. What did Christ say? Well, the Pharisees came tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And remember, here he's speaking to the unconverted Pharisees, the same ones that John the Baptist said earlier, not only the Pharisees, but others as well, generation of vipers. The Lord Jesus addressed them and said, how will you escape the damnation of hell? Christ later said, recorded in John chapter 8, to some of them that were even first described as believing on him and then turning against him, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. He also gave warning, if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. And then as well, beware false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. That was the message of John the Baptist, the message of Christ to his audience, Jewish people, leaders as well as the common people. John the Baptist addressed both the multitudes and the scribes and Pharisees as a generation of vipers. And Christ, when they asked, is it lawful to put away the husband and wife? He said, wherefore, there are no more twain but one flesh. Wherefore, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. That's the words of Christ. If you are in the church, you and I ought to know that. Let not man put asunder. No right to do it. One flesh. When a man cut his arms off, that's flesh. The wife and the husband are described as one flesh. It's totally out of place. We talked about how the broken homes increased last week from our early history in our country, hardly any, and then later, 1 to 17, and then later, a bigger percentage, less good homes, till one out of every two were divorced. And the second time, the remarriage was even worse. In the church. Yes, in the church. One time I was telling a person about the churches, what a sad state we're in. And we are. And we should all be one, and we should all say, let's be one together in admitting how wrong we are, how far we are from the truth when we can't have homes as they should be, and as Paul describes them here, and obedience to that. And one man says, well, we have a good church. I said, do you have divorces? Oh, yes, he says, everybody does. I said, that's why we don't have good churches. We don't listen to Christ. We don't listen to the head. Listen again what Paul said. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. He says, as Christ is the head of the church, the Savior of the body. Earlier, Paul has said to the Ephesians, and he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things in the church. Is Christ your head of your church, of yourself as a member? Then listen to what he says. Let not man put asunder what God hath joined together. No right. Well, you say, well, what about adultery? It doesn't say that. It says, except for fornication, like Joseph and Mary. Joseph felt he should put her away, but God explained the whole situation, and that was different than what it would have been if it would have been fornication. I've known people that have held to that truth, and they wanted to accuse the woman in the home of fornication so they could have a right to divorce. They knew that there was no adultery, there was no other sin, and it doesn't say adultery. We substitute it, we change it, We just add to it, take away from it. But Christ said, except for fornication. And he said, then if they get married, then they commit adultery. Then it goes from, well, I'll almost say, bad to worse. But that again was the Jews. Why did they have it? Christ said, Moses said, because of the hardness of your heart suffered you to put away your wives from the beginning. It was not so. Do you want to be in that class? The hardness of heart doesn't really give you a right. It's just hardness of heart can be so bad that homes are in such trouble that you can't hardly live together. And then I would always say there can be a clause of separation, but we have no right for divorce. Not unless there was fornication proved that was there before marriage. That, we may believe, is the Word of God. But going on here, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And going on in the rest of what Paul says to the church at Ephesus in that fifth chapter, husband, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's how we as husbands should do. As Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, willing to deny himself, willing to humble himself and go to the death of the cross for the church, for the body that he would gather out of sinners. He died for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish before him in love. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh and his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. As I said last week, we can only do that when we're both living. My wife passed away a number of weeks ago. I cannot do it any more. I cannot show that love, cannot tell that love. It can be done once, when we're alive, when we're together, and it should not be any other way. And when we think of it on the Resurrection Sunday, we need, as Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. As I said, we don't read of divorce in the epistles. We do read the hard-hearted Jews. Paul does refer to different sins. And when he does refer to sins in the letter to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 6, listen to what he says to them. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And this applies just as well to the sin in the home between husband and wife. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. That's the message of the Resurrection Sunday, when he was risen. The angel said, he's not here, but he's risen. And Paul here applies it to the church as we need it applied today, not just to keep the day, not just to keep the happening, but to have the application, as Paul wanted it, I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And he says to this church here, as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. If there's any trouble in the home, if you are a Christian, go back to the beginning. Paul says, should we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Don't do it. Don't keep on in it. He said, we've been planted together in the likeness of his death. We should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. What took place on that resurrection day? God raising him from the dead. He puts that same power in us, raised again for our justification, but raised again as well for our sanctification, our new life. Listen again. As Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, if we have died, really come to the end of self, as Paul said when the commandment came, thou shalt not covet. One of the things that God says in his holy law is thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. How often there's a third party involved. And when there's a third party involved, it's so hard to bring reconciliation. It should never be there. We have to come back. The likeness of his death, dying to self, dying to covetousness, dying to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It's all right for me. I can do it. No, you can't. Christ said no. Christ said, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Is he the head of your church? Is he head of you as a member? It's time we wake up and say the church should not be made up of broken homes. And just allow it. We are allowing it. We're right in line with the world. Just as many in the church as in the world. What is the church then? Separate? Have they come out from among them? Not at all. We need to listen to God as he speaks to us through Christ directly. God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. We need to listen to God as he speaks to us by Paul. He is Christ's witness. He has been inspired by God to write to these different churches. And think again of Christ. A number of times we read, after he paid the price on the cross, he arose and sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And what's he doing there? Paul tells us in his letter to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 8, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is at the right hand of God also making intercession for us. Is he weeping over the church that has a name that lives and is well nigh dead? The church that says, I'm rich and in need of nothing. And Christ has to say to it, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Recognize sin. Anything other than loving God above all and loving our neighbor as ourself is sin. Sin for which Christ had to die. Sin which Christ can not only pay for but change. And again, I leave you with those words of Paul, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.